जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपीजन वल्लभ गिरिवार धारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जान रंजन यमुनतीरा भनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज ब्रजजनरंजन यमुनतीरा भनचारे हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare चंजे राधा कला चंज राधे जय प्रभुपाद जय प्रभुपाद प्रभुपाद जय प्रभुपाद श्री राधा कलचंजी की जय। श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। गौर प्रेम नंदी। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमती रंजन स्वामिनिति नामने नमः। ओम विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमती भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनिति नामने नमस्ते। सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवारी पश्चाचारिणे वंचकोपत्रुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे। हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। हरे कृष्णा। So welcome everyone this evening. We read generally on Sunday evenings from Bhagavad Gita. So just for those people that perhaps are a little unfamiliar with what the Bhagavad Gita is, we'll very, very quickly. Bhagavad Gita is a conversation between two historical personalities. One of them happens to be Lord Sri Krishna, who is also the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and his very dear friend and warrior named Arjuna. And so they're just about to start a battle, and what happens is that Arjuna becomes a little bit conflicted, a little bit concerned about what he's about to partake in, this warfare, and primarily because he has some friends and relatives that happen to be on both sides of the war. And so therefore he's very concerned about, what would happen if he takes part in this and then destroys those friends and loved ones. And so just as they were getting about to start the battle, he asks Lord Krishna, who is playing the role of his charioteer, to pull his chariot between the two armies. And then as he is beginning to see what is going on, he then tells Lord Krishna, his charioteer, I'm having a moment of weakness, and I actually feel like I cannot fight. And he drops his bow. And then from that, then the series of questions and answers and the whole conversation begins to take place. And so that is the Bhagavad Gita, is that conversation between Krishna and Arjuna on the battlefield. And so it's a very, very relevant conversation, because the challenges and the difficulties that Arjuna goes through are much the same challenges and difficulties that all of us go through in our lives. The time and place and circumstance of the Bhagavad Gita is slightly different, of course, than our time, place, and circumstance. But the responses that Krishna provides and the answers that Krishna is giving, these are eternal. Because the situations, whether it's in ancient times, whether it's current, or whether it's in the future, right? The situations that we will be dealing with as human beings on this earth, as living entities on this planet, they're not all that different. You know, when we are faced with some challenge or when we're faced with something hard, we have a shared reaction. And so therefore, the guidance can be equally as shared. There are, of course, particular points in this conversation that might be specific to the time, place, and circumstance of Arjuna being a warrior. But we are also, in many ways, warriors, and especially those of us that are trying to engage our lives in some sort of spiritual endeavor, right? It can be referred to as a spiritual warrior, because as you are trying to engage your life in a spiritual endeavor and better yourself through the spirit, what generally tends to happen is you have some conflict, right? You'll have other aspects of your mind and your senses sort of pulling on you, saying, no, don't do that. That's too difficult, or that's no fun, or you'll miss out on something if you do this. So there's that natural conflict there. And so when you're on the development of spiritual knowledge, when you're on that path of developing spiritual knowledge, you are definitely going against in one sense, you can say the climate of our current time and place, especially because what is dominant in today's global culture, for the most part, it's a what? When you hear them talk about it on the radio, they don't even refer to us as people. They refer to us as what? Consumers. Our idea, the idea for the materialistic time and place is that we consume whatever is pushed out to us, right? That is our role in the global economy, is to be consumers. And so therefore, in this type of materialistic environment, in this type of situation, if you're pursuing some spiritual path, if you're trying to go that way, then what are you trying to do? You're trying, this young gentleman, it's interesting, the shirt this young gentleman's wearing here says spiritual revolution on the front of it. So this is what we are going through. We're going through a spiritual revolution. And so we, in order to go through that revolution, in order to develop that spirituality, we sort of have to not just be that consumer, right? We have to be able to think about what is right, what is wrong, what should I accept, what shouldn't I accept, what sort of life do I want for myself, what sort of knowledge do I want for myself, what do I want to get out of this time that I have in the human form of life, do I want to have as much material opulence and as much material enjoyment as possible, or do I want to take the time to start to answer some of those eternal questions that humanity has, which there are certainly answers for, but, you know, these typical, who am I? Why are we here? What's going on? Those types of questions, those can certainly be answered through spirituality. And we see that all around the world. It's not just in our tradition, but in every spiritual tradition, that's what they are trying to do. They're trying to help you understand that there is a much larger reality than what we are just experiencing right here, right now. And therefore, in order to tap into that larger reality, you need to develop this spirituality. And that is the spiritual revolution that we have to go through. That is the road that we have to take, is we have to sort of push back a little bit on the materialistic culture that is dominating the planet right now. And it is really trying to encourage all of us not to question much, not to especially not to resist in any sort of consumption. And we know from personal experience, for the most part, right, we know from personal experience that if we just simply chase after the desires of the mind and the senses, because they may not always be what is best. There's described that there are three primary aspects that are helping us as we are going through the material environment embodied, right? In bodies. You have your intelligence, you have the mind, and you have the senses, right? And then, of course, there's the soul. There's the eternal soul, which is who we are. And the soul has these three tools, and then you have your material body as well in order to interact with the material environment. So as the eternal soul, what do we understand to be the best way to engage? And that is under intelligence, right? To use the intelligence to go through and guide our direction in life. When it's the mind that is in control, then they're not always clear, right? Things are not always clear. Sometimes you want this, sometimes you want that. Things change quick. Sometimes you like something, sometimes you, another time you don't like it. So using just the mind to guide you and to make decisions, you have a tendency to perhaps make a wrong decision and not make a correct decision. So therefore, we don't want to have the mind in control. We want to have, use the intelligence and have that in control. And then even lower than that is when you become controlled by the desires simply of the senses, taste, smell, touch, all of these different types of things. When we, for, you know, a best example of this would be in our current time, right? Things that taste very delicious. And in this consumerism culture, what is there that is in vast majority of food to make it taste extremely delicious? There's an exceptional amount of sugar, correct? And so we're going and we're going, and we know the intelligence is telling us, even the mind may be sort of a little bit saying, well, hold on, maybe you shouldn't be consuming so much of that sugar. And certainly the intelligence knows for sure that if I overindulge in this type of food, I'm going to be sick later on. I'm going to have the health issues. I'm going to have concerns with my life. But yet the sense of taste is so powerful. It's working together with the mind to say, no, don't. Come on. You don't need to worry about what's going to happen in 25 years from now. It's okay. Don't just enjoy it right now. You know, just go for it and enjoy it. And that's letting the intelligence be overruled by the mind and the senses. And so we don't want to be in that situation, right? We want to be in the situation where we're working under the intelligence. We're using that as our primary tool to figure out what is right and what is wrong. And so that's what we are doing in a spiritual, that when you're developing a spiritual life, that is what you were trying to do. You were trying to put yourself in a situation where the intelligence is guiding for the most part. And of course, as we're saying, just like with Arjuna, it's a challenge that is going to always be there. The mind and the senses will always be trying to get control. Describes that there's this sort of constant battle for dominance inside with these three. And we can say for sure we can understand this. It's not that theoretical. If you think about it in the sense of conditioning, right? If you become conditioned by something, and what it's described is that the soul being an eternal living entity, the soul, when it's in the material environment, meaning here, separated from God and not with the Lord in the spiritual environment, then in order to engage in this material environment, it has to be embodied. And then the body gives it the opportunity to go about and do things. But one body, for the most part, is a short period of time, right? Say a human life, average out 100 years, 85 years, something to that point. For the species of life that we know of on this planet today, we have one of the longest life expectancies. Other species of life have shorter life expectancies. Certainly plants have longer, but they don't have the same ability to interact with their environment as we do. So you become conditioned. You, the spirit soul, becomes conditioned by the amount of time that you've been embodied, right? And while you're embodied, you're always having the pull of the senses and the mind. And so for that conditioning then begins to wear you down and wear you down and wear you down and wear you down, so that gradually you can't use your intelligence. And that's, you know, that's a grander example of it. If you bring it into a personal, you know, this lifetime, if you've ever taken up or you know people that have fallen victim to perhaps some sort of bad habit, excessive use of alcohol, cigarette use, some sort of behavior which is detrimental to themselves, their environment, and all of their loved ones. Yet due to the conditioning of doing that from a young age or for a long time, now even when their intelligence is telling them they have to stop, and even when there's a grave danger out in front of them, and every bit of your intelligence is telling you, put the brakes on, don't engage in these activities anymore, that person still is hankering after and still engages in those activities. They can't break it. So that is the conditioning that occurs to all of us in different ways. And so as we are conditioned, we need to begin to uncondition, recondition really is what it is. You have to recondition yourself to then be able to see and understand that there's value in resisting. Right? There's great value in resisting the pull of the mind and the senses. It may not always feel like it's the best thing at that particular moment, because perhaps you may be feeling like you're going to be missing some sort of enjoyment, or you may not experience things exactly the same way. But as time goes by, It's described that especially if you're engaging in a spiritual environment, in a spiritual path, developing spiritual knowledge, that what happens is you begin to then experience what comes from that spiritual environment, or you begin to experience bit by bit the joy of a devotional life, of a life of service and a life of work towards God. And as you experience those joys, then the pull for the other joys of the senses and the mind begin to minimize. So early in our development, early in our stage, which is the situation for the vast majority of us in this world, you know, myself certainly included, we still are very much in the situation where the mind and the senses may have some dominance over us and may have some more control over us. So therefore, we are getting a little bit of experience. We experience a little joy of spiritual life, but that's not enough yet for us to be convinced that it'll bring us the eternal happiness, right? So due to the conditioning, we fall back on a habit that we've had in our life because at some point that brought us some temporary relief of our material situation, of our suffering. So we're thinking that that's bringing us happiness. So then we go back to that activity. And then when we get frustrated with that, we go back to a spiritual activity and we go back and forth in this way for a little while. And then as we make more and more progress, gradually that it's described that that higher taste begins to be more powerful and the lower taste of pure sense enjoyment, pure indulgence of the mind's desires begins to, you begin to see it in a different way. And, you know, you don't feel the same about it as you used to. And I can give for you know, a very small personal example in my life where I sort of had this similar experience. By no means have I gotten beyond the attachments of the mind or the senses, so I'm not in any way saying that. But as I grew up, right, I had a very special opportunity as a young child to be in the association of Krishna and his devotees, of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, Srila Prabhupada's movement. Then as I moved into my teenage years, I you know, entered into an environment where I was no longer directly in the association of Krishna and his devotees, and then into my college years, and then as you go further away into your college years and in your young adult, all of the enjoyments of the material world are really there. You think you know everything as an 18, 19, 20-year-old. You think you're full of wisdom and you got everything under control. And so I was, of course, wanting to enjoy a little bit as much as I could. I would even go as far as to say the environment of the material world. See, what is it like, you know? See if I can have some enjoyment for it. And so far, you know, I fell into all kinds of activities with schoolmates and things like that. And one activity that never got extremely attached to, but certainly experienced and enjoyed in one sense, and that is like the, you know, the club scene, the young American club scene where you're out, you're sort of partying, you're enjoying it. It has its sense of fun by all means. So one evening though, I had now gotten through college. I was working regularly, but I was still hanging out with my college friends, and on the weekends I would go do this. But then also I had the fortune now of beginning to redevelop my spiritual life. I had come back into the association, into contact with ISKCON. I had been going, you know, I have been going to the temple regularly. I have been re-engaging. I have enjoying kirtans. I'm enjoying all these different type of spiritual activities. But I'm still also, you know, you got your feet in both worlds. You know, you're trying to have the best of both of it, right? And so one evening I go out with all my friends, and it's a Halloween evening. And I have my younger brother with me. He's 2 years younger. He also, you know, we grew up together in Krishna consciousness, so we have this, there's things we can talk about that we're very close in that sense. And so afterwards, you know, I was feeling a little like, a little disappointed after the evening. It was a Halloween evening night. And I was feeling a little bit, we're sitting out in the parking lot of the club and we're all talking, and I was talking with my brother, and I said to him, I said, you know, I think I've sort of reached my point of it's no longer enjoyable and fun anymore going out and doing this, you know? Like, right at this particular moment, I'm not saying that when we were in there, I didn't have a little bit of fun. I certainly did have some fun. But right now, my sense of happiness is actually lower than it was before I went into there. Because I went in, spent all this money, all this time, and here I am, right back at the same point of, you know, not feeling joyful necessarily, not feeling morose or anything, but understanding, you know, coming to the realization that that material activity, it may have bought you a momentary piece of happiness, but in the end, I was actually less happy from engaging in that activity than I would have been had I spent that 2.5-3 hours in a kirtan. Whoever has spent even 30-40 minutes in a nice, wonderful kirtan, chanting of the Lord's holy names, right? For the next day, you feel the happiness that you experienced in that kirtan. It doesn't just, when that's over, you're like, ah, oh. You know, you're thinking about it, you're singing in your mind, and every time you're chanting, you're remembering the, how much fun you were having in that kirtan event. So this can happen to any of us. You know, this is, I'm just using myself as an example because it's important when we speak on spiritual things to give, you know, sometimes it sounds difficult, or it sounds foreign, or it sounds far away, or it doesn't sound relevant in my life. So I like to try as much as possible to share something which makes it a little bit more relevant in somebody's lives, so you can feel and understand yourself. Because I bet you most of you, especially if you have been engaging in this spiritual seeking for some time, have had a similar experience. Maybe that experience isn't the one single experience which says to you, okay, I'm done with seeking after this material enjoyment. Now I'm only going to seek after spiritual. And believe me, it wasn't like that necessarily for myself either. It wasn't like that moment everything was finished. But I can certainly see clearly that by the mercy and the kindness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of Krishna, and of his devotees, from having their association once again in my life, that you were able to come to that sort of realization and understand that this is not how I want to engage in my life. So one of the things I wanted to read from Bhagavad Gita, it's actually the very, very last verse of the Bhagavad Gita. And it's something that we can take every day in our lives, and that is the thing. Every day you can have this, and then you can have the results of it as well. So we'll read from the Bhagavad Gita. I will just read the English translations, and this is from the 18th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. This is text 78, and the chapter is entitled The Perfection of Renunciation. Translation: wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and wherever there is Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will also certainly be opulence, victory, extraordinary power, and morality. Right? So who doesn't want these things in their life, right? Who doesn't want victory? We don't want, I should say, you know, in a, we don't, as aspiring transcendentalists, right? We don't want to say, I want to be victorious over everything in life and I want to be dominant. It's not like that. But victory means success in many ways, right? This is what it means. It's a success. You want to have success in your endeavors. That is victory, right? We want to have power. Extraordinary power. You don't want to rule over and be dominant and in that sort of way. But also, if we do have strong material desires still, certainly power is a nice thing to have, right? That is something that most of us in this material environment, we are seeking after some ability. Who wants to be a powerless person, right? Who wants to not have the ability to have some sense of control in their life and just simply be powerless? Nobody wants to be a powerless person. We want to have power with us. And of course we want to be moral. And this is the most important thing, because if you have success, power, and morality together, if you have the three together, it gives you the opportunity then to use those to help benefit others, to help benefit yourself. And how do you do that? By using those in the service of the Supreme Lord, using them in Krishna's service. Because when you use things in Krishna's service, then it's described by God himself, you don't fall into, you don't receive, I should say, the karmic reaction of those activities. So karma, what is that? Karma is the tie to the material environment. It's what binds us to the material environment, because it is action and reaction. So when we commit an action, there will be a reaction somewhere. You have to then, you know, deal with the consequences of those actions. Whether they're good, bad, or neutral, whatever it is, you have to deal with them, right? So that is the challenge with karma, is that in this cycle of birth and death, as we move from one body to another body here in this material environment, the karma is what determines what your next body, what's your level of enjoyment, what's your level of happiness, what's your level of misery, on and on and on like that, is impacted by your karma. And that's the activities you engage in your life right now. All has, in some sort of way, a karmic reaction. One of the ways to think about this in a simple way is you think of all of the vast microbes that live in our environment, right? So even if you are doing your best to live a non-violent life, right? You are being very, very careful. You're living vegetarian, vegan. You're doing all these different things to minimize your footprint on this world, right? You're doing your best. That is very, very positive, right? This is not negative in any sort of way. This is extremely positive for us to do this. But still, those activities, as we are breathing, as we are eating, as we are doing so many different things, there are little microbes which are being destroyed, right? We are killing them. And so therefore, due to that, the soul is the same, whether it is in a human form of life, whether it is in a dog form of life, an ant form of life, or a tree, right? A plant form of life. The soul, which brings the energy and the consciousness and helps that body grow and develop, all of that is coming from the soul. That is the same regardless of which species of life you are in. So therefore, it is the soul, which is our true identity, that is gathering that karma. And so therefore, from body after body after body after body, you have to take the consequences of that. And that's why we're saying that is the tie to this material environment. Because as long as you have to repay, we can say, a debt of karma, then you have to take another material body. And because it's an inescapable aspect of this material environment, the only way it's described to be able to break the chains of karma, which then lead to birth after birth after birth, life after life after life, the way to do it is by getting the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because it is the Supreme Lord who has created those rules in the material environment, and therefore it is he, she, that can then change those rules. And the reason I'm describing the Supreme Lord as male and female is, if you see here on our altar, the forms we have of the deities, Radha and Krishna. Krishna is there standing holding the flute. Srimati Radharani is there beside him, the eternal consort of the Supreme Lord. They themselves take one single form, which is the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then together they have inaugurated and started the Sankirtan movement, which is the chanting, is, you know, developing God consciousness through the congregational chanting of the Lord's holy names, through glorifying God through song and prayer. This way of glorifying the Lord and doing it together as a team, as a group, this is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given to us in this time and age. And for a very simple reason, and we were describing it in the very beginning of the class, and that is because in this material environment, the thing that is so strong for us in our current time and place is materialism, right? And why do we want materialism so badly? Because it is a sense enjoyment. It is a way of experiencing some momentary relief of the struggles in the material world through sense enjoyment. When you engage in the Sankirtan, the congregational chanting of the Lord's holy names, when we were doing it earlier, what are we doing? We're engaging every sense of our body in the Lord's holy name. We're using our hands to play instruments. We're using our voice to sing the Lord's holy names. We're using our eyes to view the Lord and to view each other. We are using our sense of smell. We have the offering which comes down from the altar in the form of the flower, and it goes by for everyone to get the opportunity. So you have this chance to then engage your mind and your senses and your intelligence in an activity that for most of us in the human form of life is somewhat enjoyable. Who doesn't enjoy dancing, right? Is there somebody in this room that can, with a lot of honesty, raise their hand and say, no, I don't enjoy dancing. It's not really fun. I don't enjoy good music. Who doesn't enjoy listening to music, right? For the most part, all of us find enjoyment in these activities of Sankirtan. And so therefore, in this time and age when we don't have so strong the ability to say no to the demands or the pulls, the desires of the senses and the mind, Krishna, the Supreme Lord, out of his kindness for us as his eternal children, and who have become separated from him due to, in one sense, our own desires, it's described. The material environment, God has given free will, right? God has given free will to everybody. And therefore, if you have free will, there has to be an area where if you don't want, if your free will is not to adhere to the relationships that the Supreme Lord has in his spiritual abode with everyone who was there, if you do not want to adhere to that and you want to have some sort of other, then there has to be a place where you can go and do that. And that is what the material environment is there for, it's described. For those souls that have decided that they themselves want to experience what it is like to be a little God. And you can see when we get here, when we're here, so many people that have a lack of spirituality in their life, what is their ultimate goal? To be strong, to be powerful, to lord it over others, to be the richest, right? This is to enjoy the most and to have others be subservient to us. This is in one sense, you're trying to experience what it's like to be God, right? So therefore, out of free will and kindness for us, there you go. You have an environment. And all of you, many of you probably work in the IT world. And I don't mean to generalize here, but what do you do in the IT world when you're developing a system? You have the sandbox system, right? That's the system where you can put all of the hopes and the dreams and the whatever you want to try to create your program and figure out, will it work that way? You can manipulate it. You can play with it. You can do all these different types of things. Then gradually that doesn't work. So then ultimately once you settle in on what it's going to do, how it's going to work, you move it to your test environment. You move it to your quality environment. And then ultimately you move it off to your production environment, right? So that sandbox environment, that is the material world, right? This is where God has said, go, do what you wish. You have the ability. You can manipulate the material environment how you wish, right? And so therefore that is this material world that God has given us. But out of his genuine kindness and love for all of us as his eternal children, he knows that the true happiness of the soul is when it is engaged in loving relationships with the Supreme Lord and each other with God as the center, right? That brings the true happiness and joy. So then you go and you, once you become exhausted, it's described, once you've played in the sandbox to your fullest content and you've come to the realization that, yeah, actually I'm not finding any real happiness here. I may be happy here for a little bit and for a little bit and for a little bit, but my happiness where I want to be eternally happy, I'm not experiencing that. So then therefore the Lord is constantly giving us ways so that we can come back to that understanding that the true happiness is when our true selves is understood. And that is the nature of the soul is described to be sachit ananda, right? So is eternal. The soul is eternal, full of knowledge and full of joy, full of bliss. These are the three symptoms of the soul. So as we begin to understand that about ourselves and then become less conditioned. An example is there of the conditioning, how you can understand to become less conditioned, right? When you first step out of the shower in the morning and you go to the mirror to take a look, see what it's going on, you can hardly see anything in the mirror, right? All you see is this haze. It's all fogged up. You can barely see anything. That is the soul covered in its conditioning. That is the layers upon layers upon layers upon layers of conditioning over the soul. But as you begin to clean those away with a spiritual process, and specifically here, you know, what we are encouraging is the process of Sankirtan, chanting the Lord's holy names. As you begin to do that, you begin to cleanse away some of these conditionings, and the powerful nature of the soul begins to come through. And as that begins to come through more and more and more, we understand. Just as in the mirror, you begin to gradually clear away, you take your blow dryer, whatever it is, and you begin to clear away that fog, and then you can see yourself through the mirror. So this is what it is like for us here in this material world. We use what the Lord has given us to cleanse away the conditionings of the soul and the coverings, the conditionings that are covering us. Let the eternal soul come through, and then ultimately as that happens, you are experiencing more and more happiness and more joy and more peace, which is really what ultimately we all want in our lives, is some peace and some happiness and some joy, right? We chase after activities, after engagements that will bring us that will bring us happiness, joy, and peace. And really, many, many people throughout the world discover that it is a spiritual path that will give me that ultimate inner peace. And then through that, you develop further and further your relationship with God. And then ultimately, God can say, as we were saying, cutting those binds of karma. The Supreme Lord Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that those that tend to me, that become my devotees, he is saying, if you offer with me love, to me with love and devotion, a leaf, a flower, a fruit or water, simple little things. But what Krishna is saying is you go about your daily lives. That's what he's telling Arjuna over and over in the Bhagavad Gita. You go about your daily life, but you do it in a way where you are offering that to me. And then from doing that, you will not accumulate the karmic reactions of those activities. So then when it is time for us, once we've exhausted the karma that we have to deal with, then we're able to go, it's described, go back home, be with the Lord eternally in the spiritual environment. So that is the way that we can, get out of this material world. And it starts by understanding that the bind and the conditioning is our material desires in many ways. Because every time you pursue a material desire, then ultimately you have a deeper entanglement with the web of karma. Now, we cannot get rid of our material desires. That is, you know, not really feasible for us. And again, that is why Krishna, there is a term referred to as Yukta Vairagya. And this means using everything that we have in the service of Krishna. You use it all in the service of Krishna. And by doing that, you develop a very, very dear relationship with the Lord. You already have that relationship. point is we've forgotten. Krishna has not forgotten. But Krishna says, the more you surrender unto me, he describes this in the Bhagavad Gita, the more you come towards me, the more I come towards you. And because you are my very, very dear friend, and especially those that are engaged in spiritual development, in service, devotional service, we refer to it, bhakti yoga, the process of bhakti yoga, which is offering service and devotion to each other with Krishna as the primary object of that service. So this is the process, and this is what has got us here in the material world, and this is the process for escaping the material world. So we'll end on that. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So if we have some questions or comments, we have some time for some questions and comments. There's a little microphone over here, if someone could deliver that, if there's any questions or comments.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna. Wonderful. Okay, so it looks like we don't have any questions or comments right now. So the next part of our program, we normally will chant for about 10 minutes right now, chant the Lord's holy names. And then after that, as we mentioned, at 6 p.m., we start serving our dinner prasadam, our evening's dinner, and that's in the adjacent building. There's some directional signs over there. And then at 6:10 here in the temple room, we have continuous devotional activity going on with the Tulsi Puja. Srimati Radha Kalachanji Ki Jai. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Radhe Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare, Hare. Krishna, 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 Krishna. Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Prabhupada ki jai.